Well, let's stand together tonight. I feel a message on my heart. This morning I was here at the church, spending some time here with the Lord. And a very familiar verse of Scripture in Numbers chapter 21, verse 4, 5, and 6. Let's turn there tonight. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4, 5, and 6. And I hope you've got a heart tonight for God. If you have a heart tonight for God, you're going to find God. You'll find Him. Amen. Numbers 21, verse 4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake unto God and against Moses, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Very familiar story that we find in the Word of God. But it goes on a little bit further. Verse 7, "Therefore the people came unto Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Amen. I want to preach tonight. I hope that the Lord will give me strength to preach here tonight about the mirror of the cross. The mirror of the cross. If we're going to be saved, we've got to go past Calvary. If we're going to be saved, we've got to go to that ultimate place of sacrifice. And we have to look at that cross. And when we look at that cross, we're going to see ourselves in there. If you don't see yourself in the cross, you're not going to be saved. Amen. Because the cross is the mirror. Amen. It is the mirror that we can see ourselves in. Let's pray together and let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for truth. We thank you for the anointing that we feel here tonight in this place. I pray, Lord, you will touch someone's life and heart. God, that you will change a direction tonight. And you will give us understanding and wisdom in the will and the Word of God. I pray in Jesus' name tonight. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The Bible says that they were going through the wilderness here, and they loathed this light bread. It really gives us the attitude that they had when they got to this particular point in their journey to the promised land, or on their journey through the wilderness, I guess I could say it that way. The word loatheth there means through the idea of severing oneself from, or to be disgusted or anxious, to abhor, or to be distressed or grieved, or to be weary. Amen. And so they became weary. They became disgusted. They got to a place where they abhorred, where they did not want to do this anymore. It wasn't very long from their passage of the sea, and they got to this particular point in their lives. And what they didn't realize was there was something in them that was not right with God, and they began to murmur, and they began to complain. By design, the Lord led them through the wilderness because, as the Scripture says in more than one place, He led them through the wilderness because He wanted to see what was in their heart. And He wanted to listen to the things that they said. And we are very much in the same situation as we walk through this life on our way to heaven. Somebody could say amen. Because the nature of this world is like a wilderness, and the wise are those that understand that we depend on God for everything that we have. Amen. It is the foolish that think they're going to make it through this wilderness on their own and make up their own pathway through the wilderness, but it is the wise that understand that we need God. Amen. And we've got no other way of supplying our needs, and so we're in desperate need every day. I don't know if you feel that way tonight, but you need to feel that way. You need to understand that we are in desperate need every day of God's blessings in our lives. And Israel was in this particular situation where they were dependent upon God every day. You know, what we like in our lives, and I know I could just say amen to myself as well, we like security. Amen. We want a secure job. We want a secure income. We want security in our lives. And I'm afraid that sometimes we depend upon the security that ultimately develops in our lives. And if we don't have that security, then all of a sudden things begin to crop up inside of us. And it is because of the nature of the flesh that we live in. Life to them became a grind. Same old sand, same old sun, same old heat, same old rocks, same old desert. Amen. And I've read just a little bit about the desert. And they say that the desert will have a negative effect upon an individual if that individual is not prepared for it, if they don't have the provisions that they need to get across the desert. They say that you can begin to hallucinate, and you can see a lake of water out there when there is no water. They say that in one particular place where some tried to make it across the desert on their way to California, that the road that they traveled was littered with the skeletons of people who thought they could make it with a canteen full of water, and the sand and the wind honed their bones until they were nice and shiny out there. And they say that there was wagons that were abandoned on the side of the road and skeletons along the way because they did not understand the nature of the desert that they were crossing. And we've got to understand the nature of where we are in this world. Amen. As we walk on our way to the promised land, or if I could just say it this way, as we walk through the wilderness of this world, amen, if we're not careful, we're going to fall into the same trap that Israel fell into. Because when they were saved, it was a glorious salvation. There was much joy. And kind of like when you start out in life, everything's exciting, everything is joyful, and then you grow up a little ways and you realize that life can become very serious. Amen. And you realize that there is a force that you've got to reckon with in this life. Amen. When we're young, we think we can overcome anything. And as we get older, we realize that we can't overcome everything by ourselves. And it is the wise man and the wise woman that comes to the understanding of God and understands, I need God. Amen. I need something more than just my own intellect. I need something more than my own money or my own dreams. I've got to have something higher than that. And my friend, tonight, we've got to have something higher than that. And I really feel like tonight, I really do, I feel like I am preaching to someone or several someones here tonight, and you don't know God, and you have not found God yet in your life. I want to try to help you, amen, to understand what's going on in this world and what is taking place in your life. Amen. When life gets serious, all of a sudden the dreams vanish. All of a sudden, those great ideas that we had vanish, and we can descend into depression. Amen. We can descend into hopelessness. We can descend into things that are not of God and will lead us to places that are not of God. Amen. Really can. There are so many, many today in our generation that have gone down this pathway, and they have a skewed idea of what life is really all about and what life is for. We were here last night praying at the church, and there was a young man that came in the door of the church and almost demanding that we gave him money or we gave him a place to sleep that night or some food, and with a real attitude about, you owe me something. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, that is a life that started out with some high hopes and some dreams and some aspirations, but the reality of the desert got a hold of him. Amen. And he didn't know how to handle it, didn't know how to deal with it. You're not going to overcome the desert by getting depressed about the desert. You're not. It's only going to bring you down even more. Amen. You're not going to cross the desert by having a tremendous dream about what's going to take place on the other side of that desert. It's not going to work. Those things are not going to accomplish anything in your life. And so since they don't accomplish those things, eventually we become pessimistic, and we become what's the word that I want to use, where we're negative about life and negative about people and negative about everything. I've seen people that don't know God that are like that. Amen. And it's not a very happy thing. I worked with a man and one time in Boston, and it didn't matter what it was. It was bad, and it was going to get worse. If the news said it was going to snow an inch, he would check out because he said it's going to snow 6 inches. And he was always pessimistic and always negative about everything. Well, I'll tell you what will cause that to happen in your life. It's a little thing called sin. Amen. It is a thing that we were born with. We were born with this imperfection. We were created in vanity, the Bible says, not willingly. We don't like to be in this situation, but my friend, you don't have any choice in this situation. Amen. You can't check yourself out. You can't stop the world from going around. Somebody help me here tonight. But as we walk through the desert of this world, as the world is moving forward into the future, amen, they're falling into the trap of sin, amen. And they begin to complain, and the Lord, the Bible says, the Lord sent fiery serpents among them. It's a very beautiful picture, not a beautiful picture if you were there, but a beautiful picture of the sin that was in their lives. And in that particular area where the serpents came, I did a little bit of reading many years ago, and there were two types of snakes in that area, the saw-scaled viper and the carpet viper. The Bible says that they were fiery serpents, and that means poisonous. That word fiery means poisonous. And many of the people died. They bit the people. They actually ended up in a particular area where there were many, many, many of those snakes, and they began to bite people. The carpet viper and the saw-scaled viper is a very beautiful example of sin, because when a person is bitten by this snake, they don't die immediately, and in fact, for several days, they feel better. But as the poison enters into their bodies, it affects the blood corpuscles, and it breaks open the vessels of blood in the body, and after a number of days, they actually bleed to death on the inside. That is a beautiful picture of sin, that when we are bitten by sin or we develop an attitude, and that attitude, we feel good about our little attitude. And folks, I'm telling you, we cannot be proud of attitudes that are not of God, and we cannot be proud of things that are not of God that lead us to sin. Somebody said amen. Because if you get bitten by it, it may feel good at first, and you may revel in this aspect of your life, and that's just the way I am. But I'm telling you tonight, friend, that sin is a very terrible thing. It will cause you to bleed to death from the inside. It will cause you to fall on the ground, give up the ghost, and you will be no more. Amen. Many, many people died of this plague of sin. And in our generation today, many people are dying of the plague of sin. They're dying at a tremendous rate in our world. Millions of people every day that are passing away from this world with sin in their lives because they never looked at the mirror of the cross and never really saw themselves as they really were. Amen. And chose to live for Jesus Christ. But there is a mirror today. If you will look in the mirror, you will be saved. Amen. If you look earnestly into the mirror, not casually, but earnestly into the mirror, and look to see what it is about you, amen, what it is that is so offensive to God, I want to tell you, you'll be saved. Amen. Because it will lead you to a place of repentance when you really see yourself as you really are. Most of us don't like that, and it's gotten really quiet in here tonight. Amen. But I'm preaching to somebody that needs the Lord. Amen. And so many of the people died, and this destructive force that was injected into them, which was a poison, very similar to the injection of sin. Amen. You might tell a lie and get away with it and feel like I'm a little bit above this now. I can continue on this way. I can steal and it's all right. I can cheat and it's all right. I can do this, I can do that, and everything's going to be all right, but it's not going to be all right. Because what's happening is sin is injected into your life, and it will begin to work its destructive force in your life. And so the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, "Make a fiery serpent. Make a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and everybody that comes and looks at it is going to be saved from death." Amen. And this pole, this serpent on the pole, I imagine it probably looks like the sign that you see on the side of an ambulance. Have you ever seen a pole on the side of an ambulance with a serpent wrapped around it? I've got a feeling that that's where that came from, because this was the cure. This was the antidote. This was the very thing that the individual needed because of their sickness. But in the Old Testament story here, when they looked upon that brazen serpent, I got a feeling it wasn't just a rough brazen serpent on a brass pole, but I got a feeling that it was shined up real bright. And that way, when you looked at that serpent that was on that pole, you could see a reflection of yourself. You could see yourself in the mirror of that serpent that was there on that pole. Jesus talked about it in John chapter 3 and verse 14. Turn with me tonight. John chapter 3 and verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, look at this, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And so when we come to God, it is very much like Moses who lifted that serpent up in the wilderness. He said in the same way, the Son of Man, he was speaking of himself, that he would have to be lifted up above the earth. Amen. Sometimes we use that scripture and say, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And we talk about praise and lifting him up in praise. That's really not what that scripture is saying. What it is saying is, if I be lifted up, if I go to Calvary and I am lifted up above this earth, I will then be able to draw all men unto me. Why did he say that? He said that because without the cross, we have no mirror to see ourselves in. Well, praise God. Without the cross, we have no way of self-examination. Without the cross and the extreme punishment that occurred there on that cross, we have no way of getting ourselves centered in this world to really understand what life is really all about and what it means to be happy and what it means to live productively in this world. We really can't get a full comprehension or understanding of that unless there is a cross that we go to. And that cross was the place where the sins of men were nailed to that cross. All of the sins before Jesus Christ that ever took place, from Cain who slew Abel all the way to the crucifixion. Amen. From the crucifixion all the way into the future. Amen. To September, whatever it is today in 2018. Amen. The cross paid the price, but not only did it pay the price, amen, it nailed our offenses to that tree, so when you and I come to the cross, we will be able to find ourselves right there in that cross. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And it represented the sins of the people. That snake represented the sins of the people. I've said it before, and I may say it again, I hate snakes. They're gross. Amen. They're awful looking. They're evil looking. They've got an evil look in their face. And not only do they look evil, but they stick their tongue out and pull it back in like, I'm getting ready to eat you. And, oh my, they're just awful, nasty things. I don't want to be around them. I'd just as soon kill them as look at them, because they're just, it's awful. Amen. And I won't go into that anymore, but you just be careful. When they say it rains a lot, the snakes come out. Now, if you're from Tennessee, you can pick them up and swing them around and do whatever you want to with them, and it's no big deal. But I'm not from Tennessee. I'm from Kansas. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I know some folks in Kansas that do the very same thing. I didn't even read the article. I wasn't interested in it at all, but I was looking at the news, and I saw this headline. It said, man arrested for having 21 rattlesnakes in his house. And I thought, this guy's got more money and time than he knows what to do with. And you just don't play around with rattlesnakes. Amen. You don't play around with copperheads. You don't play around with water moccasins. Amen. You don't mess around with them dudes. You leave them alone and you stay as far away from them as you can. Can you imagine somebody doing something like that? Oh, God, help us. I'm telling you, but they do it all the time with sin. There are people that play with sin. Amen. They got all different kinds of sin. A little sin over here and a little sin over there. And they boast and they brag of their sins. Oh God, help us. You don't want to play with sin tonight. You don't want to play with the poisonous, the fiery serpent of sin. Amen. But when Jesus went to the cross, praise God, I feel the Holy Ghost here. It was the exposition of sin. It exposed sin. Amen. This serpent on the brazen pole, the brazen serpent, exposed the sin of the people. And it not only exposed that sin, but it was a foreshadowing of the one who would go to the cross and expose the sins of the whole world. Amen. Praise God. And so when we come to the cross of Calvary, we come face to face with ourself. Amen. He was nailed to the cross. But not only was he nailed to the cross, every lie that you told was nailed to that cross. Everything that you did in the darkness was nailed to that cross. Everything that you ever thought that was wicked and evil was nailed to that cross. And somewhere, if you get close enough to that cross, you'll be able to look at it and you'll see all of these sins represented on that cross. Somewhere you're going to see yourself. And all of a sudden you're going to realize this is the only place that you're ever going to get this is at the cross. Amen. And you will see yourself as you really are. And you will either say, that's not too bad, or you'll say, dear God, this is what put him on this cross. And you'll fall on your knees and repent and get it right with God. Well, praise the Lord. What we need is for God, amen, what we need tonight is for God to lead us to the cross. And I hope that I can do that here tonight with somebody. Cain came along and Cain said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Because the punishment of sin is death. It is all kinds of death. It brings all kinds of corruption. Like cancers, there's a number of different kinds of cancers. A number of different kinds of physical ailments, amen, that come from all different kinds of things. But sin's got so many different aspects to it, amen. The punishment of sin is death. It's spiritual death. It is physical death. It brings psychological death. It brings eternal death. Amen. The end of sin is death. It is the utter ruin and despair of any human being who plays around with this poisonous thing called sin. You don't want to mess around with it. You don't want to play around with your eternal salvation. Amen. You need to go to the cross tonight, and you need to fall down at the cross and begin to examine what took place on that cross. And somewhere on that cross, you're going to see a picture of yourself. Amen. And if you are sincere in your heart and you really want to be saved, you'll repent of it and ask God for forgiveness from it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is why we've got to emphasize prayer and fasting. Amen. Because we must pray until we find the substance that we need to move on. Amen. Because, folks, we're all in this together. We've got all the same needs in our lives. There wasn't a particular kind of manna for this family and another kind of manna for this family and another kind of manna for this family. God didn't have a buffet bar in the wilderness. He gave them manna, and that's it. And the manna was good for the Gladfelter family, and it was good for Annette, and it was good for Beverly. It was good for all of the young people. It's good for everybody. It supplied the needs of every single individual in the camp of Israel, which was 2 to 4 million people at that point in time. Amen. What we need is the Word of God. Somebody said amen. Amen. I know it's not jumping and shouting and all that here tonight, but folks, we have got a treasure right here. We have a treasure that is given to us in earthen vessels. It is the bread of life that we read, amen, that we need in our lives. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. We've got to have the word of God in our lives. Amen, because the punishment of sin is too great for us to handle. We're not going to be able to handle it when sin comes along. Amen, we've got to emphasize prayer and fasting. Amen, we've got to have the water. We can't make it across the wilderness without the food and without the water. And so the water, of course, is representative of the Holy Ghost. We must have the Holy Ghost in our lives. You say, well, I receive the Holy Ghost whenever. Amen. Well, I want to ask you tonight, do you still have the Holy Ghost in your life? Are you still praying in the Spirit? Are you still reaching out in the Holy Ghost? Amen. Because we've got to have the water that comes from the rock, Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 4, it says, and they all did eat the same spiritual meat. That would be the manna. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Amen. Folks, young person, whoever you are here tonight, if you need God, you're a wise, wise person. Amen. If you know your need for God, because you cannot make it from here to heaven without going by the cross. And you can't get there without the food, the spiritual meat, and the spiritual drink. Jesus said in John 6:51, I am the bread, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. Praise God. Anybody want to live forever? I don't want to die forever. I want to live forever. And he said, the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. There's Calvary. Amen. You're not going to make it unless you go to Calvary. And when you go to Calvary, it is going to be a mirror of yourself. Amen. Well, praise God. We can't substitute the Word of God with programs. Come on, somebody help me tonight. We cannot substitute the Word of God. Amen. Do our programs and have, it's like the dieting thing nowadays. We're dieting and we're giving it a good try. We're working hard at it and I think we're doing pretty good. But you hear of things sometimes, take this drink or take this pill and all of a sudden you're going to lose 10 pounds by tomorrow morning. And they show a picture, the big old stomach, and then it just, and it's gone because you want to drink this drink. And take this chemical, take this processed situation. Only $299.99 for the first month. We're going to give you a discount on this. And you're going to do good. Oh, dear Lord, one of my friends and his wife, they were overweight, and they went on this diet. Maybe I shouldn't be saying this in the microphone tonight, but they come and preached here while they were on this diet. It was, you drink a shake, and you have to go see the doctor every week because you got to make sure that you're getting everything that you need. And they started losing weight. They came here, and he walked up to me, and I saw death on his face. I saw sockets, eyes way back in the socket, and I saw his wife, and his skin looked transparent. And I thought, dear God, what's going on? Do they have cancer? Is there something wrong? And no, they were on a particular diet. You know what? What we need is just to eat healthy. Amen. And eat in moderation. Praise God. Well, that was free. That's not $299 for the first month. Amen. And we need to eat good food, and the body will take care of itself. Amen. The good foods will be processed in your body, and everything will work properly. It is the same way in the realm of the Spirit. You cannot have victory over God because there is some kind of a program going on at the church. You cannot have victory in God if there's some sort of man-made mechanical situation that's going to get you excited and get you pumped up about living for God. Some kind of music that's all revved up and everybody gets excited because of the professionalism or whatever it is. Amen. We use props and everything in Sunday school because we want to stimulate the children's imagination. But listen to me today. You're not going to be saved by that kind of ministry. The only kind of ministry you're going to be saved by is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And 1 Corinthians 10 verse 9. I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes, but I hope that you're listening tonight. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. They were destroyed by sin. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. This is serious business here. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may bear it. Do you know where the way of escape is? The cross. The cross. That's the way of escape. The place of true repentance. Amen. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 10 and verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. What we need is a cross that we can look at, a cross that when we carry it, we always remember where we came from. And it centers us and puts us in the right perspective for our todays. Praise God. Like Matthew, who wrote the book of Matthew, and you read through the book of Matthew, and he references himself a couple of times, I believe, and he calls himself Matthew the publican, the tax collector, the thief, the man who had done so much wrong to so many people. But even though he was full of the Holy Ghost, even though he was walking with God, he never forgot where he came from. You know why? Because he carried a cross with him everywhere. I'm not talking about a cross around your neck. I don't believe in that. It's just jewelry. We don't have a Savior that's on the cross anymore. No, we don't. He's risen. Thank God for that. But I'm telling you, I'm talking about a spiritual cross that we carry of repentance in our lives. Somebody said amen. 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 Praise God. I'll gladly bear my cross. And when I pass through the desert, I want to walk shoulder to shoulder with the Calebs and the Joshuas, who were willing to suffer 40 years of sand and hot sun to climb a mountain. Amen. If you'll pass by the cross, one day you'll have a mountain view of everything around you, and you'll be the owner of it. Praise God. If you go by the cross. Let's stand together tonight. I want to finish tonight with a true story of a man from India. And I came across this story, and I thought it was worth sharing. I believe his name was Malcolm Malridge. And he was from India. In India, in some places in India, they go down to the river to bathe themselves. And in India, in most places in India, if you've listened to any of the news lately, there's lots of immorality, ungodliness. Women are treated as property. They are treated as just something for pleasure, and that's it. And this man, Malcolm, was down by the river to bathe himself. And so he got in the water to bathe himself. And as he was bathing himself, he looked across the river and a woman stepped into the water to bathe herself. And as he looked over there, there was something that rose up within him. The lust of the flesh rose up within him. And he thought, this is my opportunity. I'll pay a little bit of money. I'll go my way. She'll go her way. No big deal. And so while she was bathing herself, he got into the river and began to swim across the river. And as he got closer and closer to this woman that was bathing herself on the other side of the river, excitement rose up within him. There was some energetic feeling that rose up within him. He got closer and closer, and just before he got to where she was, he went under the water and then quickly came up in front of her, about 2 feet in front of the woman. And he wasn't prepared for what he saw, but when he came up out of the water, the woman put her hands over herself to cover herself, and he looked in the face of a leper. The woman was leprous. She didn't have a nose. Fingers were gone. Pieces of the ear were gone. The deadly disease of leprosy had ruined and wrecked her physical body. And he stood there 2 feet in front of this woman that moments before he was excited about. And he said, "My, this is a leprous woman. This woman is very leprous." And then all of a sudden it came to him, and he recognized that he had a leprous heart. That what he was seeking after in his life was just as bad as what he was looking at face to face right there. You know what that man was doing? He was facing a cross right there. He was looking at the mirror of the cross. And he thought, "Oh, I can do whatever I want to do and go my way. Nobody can tell me what to do. I'm of age," so on and so forth. But when he came up out of the water of his life and he stared into the face of what he thought was going to be pleasure and enjoyment, all of a sudden he saw himself as a poor, wretched, miserable individual that needed God in his life. Have you made your way past the cross, friend? Have you made your way past the place where you can look and see yourself as you really are? It'll take pride out of your heart. It'll take those attitudes out of your heart. It'll take those things that are embedded deep inside of you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But you'll find yourself looking at yourself in a mirror. And if you're a wise person, you will abhor what you're looking at. You'll look at yourself and say, "I don't like what I see. I don't enjoy what I'm looking at right now. I've got to get a hold of a Savior. I've got to get a hold of a Redeemer and a Savior to lift me up and to help me and to change me so that when I look in the mirror, I don't see me anymore. I see the one that's hanging on that cross." Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray together right now, can we? Lord Jesus, we need you tonight. God, we've got to have your presence tonight in this place. Oh God, help us, Lord. Help somebody tonight. God, I know there's somebody in this place that needs you. I pray you'll lead them. Somehow lead them to the cross, to the mirror of the cross, so they can see their self as they really are and repent of their wicked ways, repent of their sins, that they might be changed into the image of God and be saved for all of eternity. Help us right now. Come on, church. Come on, church. We need to pray. There's a need in this place tonight. There's a tremendous need. You've been depressed because you don't know which way to go in life. I'm telling you, it's sin. It's sin that's leading you in that direction. Come on to the cross. Come on and look at the cross and see what nailed that Savior to that cross. It was your sins and it was my sins. It was what I've done. It's what you've done. It's what all of us have done that put him on that cross. Help us today. Help us today. Help us today. Come on, I'm pleading for someone tonight. If you've never repented of your sins, tonight's the night to repent of your sins. If you have not been baptized in His name, you need to be baptized in His name. If you don't have the Holy Ghost tonight, oh, God's filling people with the Holy Ghost. You can have the Holy Ghost tonight if you'll just go to the cross and find yourself somewhere on that cross. Come on. Come on. Come on. It's time to get serious with God. You can't play around with that snake. You can't have him as a pet. The day's going to come when he's going to bite you. There's only one antidote, and that's Jesus Christ. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray for a moment longer here tonight. I feel God so strongly. Holy God, holy God, holy God, holy God, holy God, touch us tonight in Jesus' name.